Hi, everyone. This is the Leadership with Heart podcast, and this is Heather Younger, your host. Employee experience is powered by emotions. Managers and or leaders within organizations get to choose which emotions they unleash from within the people they lead. Leaders, meaning supervisors or above in an organization, drive much of the positive or negative emotions by their actions or inactions, their words, or what they fail to say. When a manager chooses their words and their actions carefully, they exhibit great emotional intelligence. These managers are often thought of as leaders who care, or as I like to call them, leaders with heart. This special brand of leader drives engagement and loyalty by simply being themselves. Are these leaders perfect? Absolutely not. It is in their awareness and sharing of some of their imperfections that we realize their brilliance. In this podcast, I ask you to see yourself in the stories my guests tell about times when they were not the best versions of themselves, but how they use their heart to guide them to a place of deeper connection with their teams and heighten leadership prowess. Today, I'm very excited to welcome Andy Books. He is one of these great leaders with heart, and he's going to share some interesting stories, ups and downs of his leadership journey, and we will all be able to take it in. Enjoy.
I am very excited that Andy Books is joining me on this call, an amazing leader. And actually, Andy and I had a really great time on LinkedIn. We support each other a lot, and on his post, and you're going to hear a lot about him too. But I thought it was really apropos for him to be one of my select managers that are going to be on this show. Now that we're part of this no longer virtual group where we support each other as well, it just made sense. And of course, watching you over the years and seeing how you respond to my posts, but seeing how you respond to other people's posts and what the content that you put out there, it made me realize that you are a leader with heart. And so, you know, that's why I personally invited you on this show. So I just wanted you to know, you know, that's the reason why.
Thank you. That's gratifying to hear, because that's a component that I've tried to develop, and right, it's been a succeed and fail process, right? Some things work, some things don't go well, and you learn from that. So that's gratifying to hear. And we've had a great relationship on LinkedIn, and not just you and I, but many other people that we've connected with over the last couple of years. So it has been an absolute adventure. Hanging out with my virtual friends, as my family likes to chide me about from time to time, but a lot of great experience.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, you as a leader. Basically, you know, what do you do right now? What's the role that you're in the leadership capacity that you hold?
Sure. There's a couple of different things that I do right now. I'll separate my day job and my night job. My day job, actually, I am a sales manager for West Corporation. West Corporation is based out of Omaha, Nebraska. We are a tech tech enablement company that connects people all over the world. We provide best-in-class service and support, as well as global class sales strategies for a lengthy list of Fortune 500 businesses. My job as a sales manager, and honestly, when I say sales manager, I don't think that title really does it justice. So I do more than just being a manager managing a sales department. Largely, my responsibility is working with a team of 20 people and also collaborative management of a much larger group of 200 people with other managers. Basically, working with and developing them so that they can achieve certainly their sales goals and sales strategies, but also to connect with them and make them better people so that once they leave, you know, West, hopefully they won't, but if they do, they will have career skills that will apply for a lifetime. So the sales manager, honestly, I think of myself more as a coach and developer. Also at night, I do some teaching on the side for a local private college here in Wisconsin, Marion University, where I teach and enable and also set up classes for groups of people dealing in business and management and leadership practices. Other than that, great. I write on LinkedIn. I do articles on LinkedIn periodically, and also do some writing and some contributions for the GoodmenProject.com.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot.
Yeah, well,
that's a lot going on.
Yeah, I mentioned I'm a parent.
But it's also a great space. Yeah, it's all in a great space. It doesn't surprise me that you, you know, look to teach other people, and even just what you talked about is seeing yourself as a coach more than the sales manager, says a lot again about you, and goes to when we talk about that leadership with heart, that person that is emotionally intelligent, the one who is socially intelligent and connects with their people and looks to grow their people, the things you just talked about is kind of a direct reflection. So what drives you as a person and as a leader? And then where does that drive come from?
Well, this has been a process over the last 20 years. And certainly, to no one's surprise, as is with anybody, I've evolved. And really, if when you ask me that question, where I think that really comes from is my love to be a parent and a family man. I really work quite hard to make sure that I'm setting the right example for my children. And quite frankly, when I'm making a big decision about something, I always ask myself, you know, what would my children think? Or is this the example I would want to set for them as a parent? And that really drives me for a lot of different things. Not only am I a provider and a parent, but I'm also really an example setter. And so my drive to do well in my job and my career and in my life really comes from the drive to make sure that I have set the right example for my children. I mean, you know, there's always that drive you say when, as a parent, you ask them, you know, what do you want for your kids? And you certainly want them to have better than what you've been able to provide for them. You always want them to achieve more. And that doesn't necessarily mean you want them to have a better paying job or a better career or anything like that. It's more about, for me, you know, being able to be a better person and be able to contribute more as they get older and as they have their own life experiences. And that can cross a broad range of things, but really it's more about, I want to be a better person because I want them to be a better person. So really that's my drive and how I approach leadership, how I approach management, and how I approach my position and my presence in the workplace.
That's awesome. I mean, you know a lot from the writing and the speaking I do that a lot of things derive from the lessons I learned from my children. I have four of them, and it is so impactful. I mean, when it hits me and I'm having exchanges with them, and I see either that I'm not having the right thinking and that they help me have a better way of thinking, or that I've had an impact on them in a positive way. So not always so positive. It's like you said earlier, we're not perfect. But it's so insightful to be just with them and to be present with them and to see how much we either have an impact or they have an impact on us. And just leaders, the way leaders are everywhere. You know, they're just, they're all over the place, irrespective of title. Yep. And so, you know, I definitely, kudos to you for having that philosophy. I love it. So what, how would you really define your leadership style? So when we're looking at your West Corporation, how would you actually, you know, consider you as a leader? What's your style?
I consider myself to be a practitioner of situational leadership in that you're constantly evolving, changing your styles to develop and make the people around you better. I mean, there's different situations that you approach and you need to approach them differently. They're not all the same. You need to maintain an acute awareness of innate leadership related strengths and how you develop and how you can be better than what you currently are. I believe in conducting highly effective coaching conversations and being able to produce teams and organizations by accelerating the development of individuals that are new to the roles. Maybe they're learning a new task. In my role, we have people who have been senior for a while or have been tenured for a while and new people that come in. So you need to be able to intermingle and be able to weld those tasks together or weld those skills together to make sure that you have an effective team. But largely, I'm about trying to engage them on a personal level and being able to understand what drives them and what motivates them. I mean, some people want to be able to excel at the highest, points of the organization. I think that's important. We need to be able to give them the tools to get there. It doesn't mean that we hand them a job and say, congratulations, you're now a high-level employee. But we need to help them get the tools and develop those tools to get there. And at the same token, I would expect my leadership to do the same for me. But largely, you change your style to address the needs of the team. And by doing that, you're addressing the needs of the organization.
That's great. So describe for me a time that you were just not the best leader you could be. And then from that situation, what is it that you did to overcome or kind of go past that point where you really weren't shining?
Well, I have to tell you, there's a lot of different examples that I can run through my head. One in particular stands out, and that was when I was with a previous employer. I pride myself on being as transparent with my team as I possibly can. I mean, that's how you develop trust. You can't develop trust if the employee feels as though if you have your own agenda, or as if you, I mean, what you achieve for the company is important, but really considering what the long-term impact to them, really what they take away. And I'll preface it this way. Employees generally feel they work for a supervisor, work for someone. They don't necessarily work for a company. Now, right or wrong, that's just how they feel. They feel that you need to be here and be genuine. Answering your question, I had a previous employer where I had to release, or knew that I had to release, a certain part of my team due to downsizing. Unfortunately, though, we were not able to disclose that to them right away, as we had a contractual basis where we needed to keep a certain amount of people over a certain amount of time before we let them go. And when I talked to my superiors about that, my instructions were, don't tell them. We can't tell them for a little while. Honestly, I think I was like 30 days. And that bothered me. It really bothered me because I felt like I was withholding important information to them. I mean, these people's lives, we need to give them time to move on to other jobs. And when I questioned why we were doing that, it was because they were just afraid of losing people. Before our contract was up, before we could finish our work, I lost sleep over it for a couple of days. And then finally, I decided to walk into my boss's office and say, we can't do this. This is not what we should be doing. This is the wrong approach. We need to be honest with them, and we need to let them make the decision what they're going to do. I mean, we need to have faith in our employees that they're going to stick around and help us finish the job. Maybe we need to incent that in a way. And if these people feel that they need to leave now because they have better opportunities someplace else, by God, that's what they need to do. And we need to let them do that, because albeit we might be winning in the short term by not sharing that information with them, we're losing by the example that we're setting. We're losing as a company, we're losing an employee, and we're losing by, you know, simply by the reputation that we are cultivating by doing that. So I really had to fight for that. Went in. I was thankful that I had a boss at that time that saw it my way and gave me the approval. But I'm making it sound easy. It wasn't. But the approval to do that, and went in and was able to tell my team. And quite frankly, I slept better. Honestly, for me, it wasn't about what the company wanted. I needed to know that I was doing the right thing for the people.
And see, and what that says to me, when we talk about the emotionally intelligent leader, we think about them having a high self-awareness of their emotions, the emotions of others, and how they can kind of control both. And mm-hmm. In this instance, you knew innately what those people were feeling, and also what they would feel, like that kind of sense of mistrust that would maybe develop if you weren't as transparent. And so, you know, I really just appreciate, number one, your openness to share that, because I know that's a tough situation, but also how you came out of that was, it sounds like to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, that like you just went back to your North Star. It was like, for you, it was all about integrity. I'm a certain type of leader. I have to be a transparent. I need people to know that they can trust me, and I'm always going to go back to that for my level of success. Does that sound kind of right?
Yeah, and I'll one up you on that. Really, it was about, I felt that I had to have a better character than what my company was currently representing. And that's not to say it was negative. I understood what their motives were, and I understood why they felt that way. But I felt that that was just not a characteristic that I could necessarily live by. And believe me, I'm not touting myself and saying, woohoo, look what I did. That's not it. It's just that, honestly, I need to look myself in the mirror. And I get back to your original question. I mean, I look at the example I want to set for my children. Would I want them to be honest? Would I want them to be transparent? Yes, I absolutely would, because that's just the right thing to do. We need to live by doing the right thing sometimes versus what we should do or what others want us to do.
Beautiful. Yeah, that makes total sense. And, you know, I wish more leaders had that. I do call this leadership with heart, and I think that story exhibits it perfectly, because your heart was open for your people. No, and you felt, so you had that kind of social intelligence to be having empathy for what they were going through and what they would feel again as a result of you not being transparent enough. So, I mean, this is just like a beautiful example that we can't actually, you know, script out. So I appreciate you putting that forward. But what do you do to connect with your team? So you feel like sometimes you get in a rut or everybody's going to doing these tactical things all day. What do you do to connect with your team in a deeper way?
Honestly, and this sounds so simple, and we talk about it so much, and that is you need to know their people. You need to talk to them. You need to know them personally. I mean, one of the things that I completely believe, and I know that the people that I work with currently believe, is that you need to know something personally about your employees and your associates. I mean, it can be something simple as, you know, knowing, well, you know, it's about knowing what they do outside of work. What do they enjoy doing? What are their, you know, what do they do when they're not working? Do they have children? Do they have a family? Do they have struggles? I mean, everyone's got a story, right? And everybody wants to tell a story. People have a genuine need to connect with a leader on a humanly identifiable level. And that, you know, I may have someone who reports to me, but at the same time, and being like football, you love to talk about the different things that are going on in your area, and that's how we identify with everyone. I mean, we may be coworkers, we may be on different levels at work, but genuinely, at the human level, we're both football lovers, and we can talk about football all day long. I mean, and that's a big deal. And once you're able to create that human connection, you're in a far better position. But really, in terms of connecting with people, it's simply having that conversation. And you know, what do you do? What do you like to do? And you'd be amazed at what you will learn from people and what they will share with you. And the respect you will gain by simply sitting down and talking with them.
I agree. I can think of multiple times where I was actually, you know, on one-on-ones, because I have a process where usually I would establish a one-on-one with each team member that directly reported to me. I found great value in it, and I think they did too. But in those meetings, it wouldn't just be about projects and timelines and what they're doing for the organization and for the team, but it would be if I knew there was something going on in their house or something that was just happening. I may say, well, how's that going? Or how is she doing? Because I wanted them to know, I remembered our previous conversation, that I care about them as people outside of the work they do for me, the organization. So I think, you know, again, what you just said completely exhibits that.
Well, one of the best
and I appreciate that.
If I may, I'm going to, one of the best stories I had came from a position that I had about 10 years ago. We were basically starting up a new client relationship with a company. And I was on a phone call with a lot of people, including the vice president of the division. And the vice president, I kid you not, this lady was like 5 feet nothing, you know, and she looked like she really didn't have much, but man, did she pack a punch, and we all knew it. During the meeting, when we started the meeting, and unbeknownst to me at the time, one of the people on the phone call working for this other company his wife had had an accident with their children in the car maybe like 3-4 days prior. Thankfully, everyone was okay, but there were some injuries. And we all got on this call, and the vice president started out and said, okay, before we get into this, let's talk about what's important. Joe, how's the family? How are the kids? How's everybody doing? And he talked for a minute and talked about, you know, the accident and what happened. And it was maybe like 2 minutes. And at the end said, you know, thank you for asking. And the VP echoed again, you know, I'm really glad to hear that everybody is okay. You know, and this is just, you know, we need to focus on the important things on life. Right. And it just set the tone for me, and it blew me away, because This
you just put hair, by the way, the hair just stood up on my arms just now, in the back of my neck. But keep going.
Right? I mean, it was just, it was an incredible moment. I gained so much respect working for her, and I still do to this day. Unfortunately, we don't work together, but she's someone I'm connected with on LinkedIn. So it's that of example setting that we need to genuinely care for our associates. And through that is when, you know, there's a betterment of the company and betterment of ourselves.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And, you know, this stuff, like I said, I could not have scripted this, but this is the kind of stuff I want to continue to reveal, you know, reveal to the leaders who are like you, who already get it, but reveal to the leaders who may be developing in this area, because some of us are stronger in other areas, and that's okay, right?
Sure.
You know, I appreciate yours. And again, knowing that we fall down, that we aren't always the best versions of ourselves, but it's the idea that we aren't seeking perfection. We are seeking continuous improvement. We're looking at how we can get better, stay connected with our teams, and just be better people. And again, I love the fact that you point back to, can I sleep at night? Can I be proud of what my children, you know, think of me, or how they see me and how they view me? These are some really good kind of sniff tests to, am I being the kind of leader that everybody would be proud of, really? So I love that. So I would love to wrap up with one thing, and I'd like you to tell me and tell the listeners, basically the one kind of seed, the one thing you would like to pass on to them as it relates to, you know, just being better for your team, you know, being that leader with heart. Being the more emotionally intelligent leader, what's the one little thing you'd like to just tell them as an ending to this episode?
Wow, only one. I would have to say that, and this goes back to, and not to beat a dead horse, but I think really the key to being an exceptional leader, I'm not just going to say a good leader, but to being an exceptional leader is that, yes, you need to have a vision of, you know, where you want to go and where the company wants to go and what you're going to do for the business. But ultimately, we need to respect that inverted triangle style of management. It used to be that we put the business at the top of the triangle. Now we need to invert that, because if we're not taking care of the people, we're not helping the business and we're not helping ourselves. And when I say take care of the people, yes, those are things that are important, like good pay and good benefits and, you know, those type of things. But ultimately, I think the key to retention in my world is that you are connecting with those people on a human level. And that doesn't have to take a lot. I always felt that, and there's probably, I'm sure there's some sort of theoretical basis behind this out there, and you could find it somewhere on the internet if you look. But yeah, people wear two hats. They have to be a leader and they have to be a manager. I propose, and I believe there's a third hat in there, and that third hat is counselor, in that there are times that you have to sometimes work with an associate who might ask you something personally. I'm not saying that you need to give them legal advice or marital counsel by any means. You certainly want to stay away from that. But I think one of the biggest credits is when someone comes to me and says, can I ask your opinion on something? It may not necessarily be work-related. And I'm more than happy to listen to it. I'll give my 2 cents worth and let them know that I'm not a professional by any means. But that's a sign that you are connecting if you have that type of rapport with your associates or rapport with anybody. I mean, I'd want my children to want my advice. And I go back to, you know, looking at those parallels between a parent and being in the workplace. But I think ultimately it's about connecting with your people, and that's what will make them stay. That's what will make them happy, because ultimately people leave their companies and their relationships because they don't have the type of rapport relationship with their supervisor that they need to have. They don't leave companies. They leave supervisors and bosses.
Amen, Andy Books. So as we wrap up, if anybody wants to get a hold of you, how should they do that? How can they get a hold of you?
Really, the best way is to go to my profile, Andy Books. That's B-O-O-K-S, no R in there, just like what you read, but only one, or more than one, excuse me. But that's the best way to get a hold of me. I also write on the Good Men Project. I'm also on Twitter at AndyBooks1, but I confess I'm not the world's greatest Twitterer by any means. That thing, because someone, you know, made the joke to you and I not long ago. But really, LinkedIn is going to be the best place to find
it. Awesome. And what I'll do is I'll make sure for the listeners, I'll put lots of different contact information for Andy. So there's many different ways for you to contact him, and a little bit more about his bio on our website. So don't forget to visit the website at customerfanatics.com. And when you go there, again, it'll be in the notes to this podcast. You will be able to go in and see some of the notes, written notes related to this podcast, but also some of the ways to contact Andy, and any other future episodes will also go there as well. So thank you so much, Andy. This has been amazing. And again, hair standing up on the back of my head and on my arms, because it's so great. Leadership with Heart is amazing.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you very much. And I'm going to plug for you to make sure you read your book, because I have a copy myself and have referenced it several times. So thank you very much. But thanks for having me today. It's been an honor and a privilege.
Thank you for listening to the Leadership with Heart podcast. You can grab the show notes by visiting customerfanatics.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter.